It's the great Dante Read Through.
It's the great Dante Read Through, where we are reading through all of the comic strip, The Adventures of Nicolai Dante. Co-created by Robbie Morrison and Simon Fraser from the weekly science fiction anthology comic, 2000 AD.
I'm Simon Fraser.
And I'm Edie Nugent, freelance writer and Simon's wife. Join us as we swashbuckle our way through the Russian Empire of the future. Warning, there will be spoilers. We will be talking in depth about these comics, so if you haven't read them yet, listen at your own risk. To join our book club and read along with us, go to shop.2000ad.com to pick up the books in hard copy or digital.
Today we're reading The Beast of Rudenstein, found in Prague's 1532 to 1535, and The Dissenter, found in Prague, 1537.
Hi, Simon.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Edie.
It sounded like you just said hi.
Heidi, hi. Edie.
Heidi, Heidi. Hello, Irregulars, and welcome back to the great Dante Read-Through.
Welcome back.
Okay, so who wrote it? Who drew it? Who lettered it?
Who did write it and who drew it? The Beast of Rudenstein was written by Robbie Morrison, of course.
Surprise, surprise.
Art by John Burns. Letters by Annie Parkhouse.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So, I'm sure we're just in for a fun little tale with a title like The Beast of Rudenstein.
They do seem to call Burns in for the grim and gritty stuff, don't they? Yeah.
That or Pirates on the High Seas.
Pirates, yes. Anyway.
For giant women. Though, yes. You know, after the last issue, even this depressing opening panel kind of feels like a break.
It's quite cheerful. I mean, they're all there, all happy.
Yeah, we see
happier
a bunch,
times.
Yeah, a bunch of dead people strutting in a line like they're in a slow-mo shot in Reservoir Dogs.
Ah, yes.
We've got Dante and Elena flanked by Andreas, Ursa, Boris, and Foma.
Mm-hmm.
And also here are Nastasia and Victor.
We've also got Spatchcock there, but no Flintlock.
No, that's Andreas.
Is it? Okay.
It's Andreas. These are the Romanov kids over here.
How come Andreas is blonde? I don't remember Andreas being blonde.
He was blonde.
I don't remember having flowing hair. Anyway, okay. I didn't recognize
him
there.
I promise you it's Andreas. It becomes important later.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I guess we're sentimental about these psychopaths now. Because I went back and
they're
I checked
our
in.
Our psychopaths, damn it.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why they were all here for a minute. And then I went back and I checked on the Romanov Empire, episodes 25 and 26, by the way, and remembered that the psychotic Romanov kids made a whole, like, last stand here in Rudenstein against the Tsar.
There you go.
And Nastasia got killed at Rudenstein.
That's where Nastasia died.
That's
See,
where she
never,
dies.
We can never remember that.
That's it. Lord She's... Protector literally melts the flesh off of her bones in a very gross John M. Burns panel.
Ah, okay. Yep. I knew I didn't draw that because I don't remember. I would have remembered that.
Anyway, the next panel shows all those folks who died at Rudenstein as ghosts behind Dante and his reluctant bodyguard, Elena.
Indeed.
And we're feeling nostalgic for the dead because Elena is showing Dante where she buried Andreas. This is how I know it's Andreas. In a grave with a rebel to the end carved into a wooden
Isn't
cross.
Isn't that little bit wishful thinking? I don't know if Andreas was actually a rebel. I mean, he was a bit of a dissident, but he was not really rebelling against anything except orderly behavior.
Yeah, I mean, he was fighting for the Romanovs, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think he didn't go against
his father. He didn't.
I think he disobeyed orders to come and fight for Rudenstein. I can't quite remember.
I suppose.
There was something in there where he was kind of cool.
Yeah, okay.
I remember he did something kind of cool.
It just seemed to be a little bit of a dilettante, right? Dilettante rather than
indeed.
A serious rebel.
I thought the same thing when I saw this on the grave. I was like, really?
I suppose you can allow your ex-girlfriend to do something
I mean,
for you in your
for
day.
Sure, you know? So she says this is because she was afraid the Tsar's men would make a trophy of his body to parade through the streets.
Or just dig out the weapons crest and try and retro-engineer
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, that's smart.
That's what I would do.
I mean, parading a trophy through the streets of a dead
or
body
both.
Does sound like
Why
the Tsar.
Why not both? Pourquoi not? Perquè non los dos.
Exactly. Well, in any event, apparently there's just like a hill of crosses of the dead, and I wish we got to see this more. It's just sort of a suggestion of a vast field where Elena tells Dante that the rest of the Grozny gang must be resting out there in pieces. Yep. So I just wish we could see more of that. It's just sort of peeking out from behind Dante and Elena. I'm sure it's quite dramatic.
The implication is that things went badly tit-shaped or badly tits up. I mixed my metaphors. Tits up.
Pair up. Pear-shaped. Tits-shaped.
Yes.
Tits comes later. We do get Does some it? Tits. Oh, yeah, good. We do get some tits. Don't worry.
I'm so glad.
So then Dante starts talking to Elena randomly at this moment. He decides to start talking to Elena about how she shouldn't shut herself off from the world because her boyfriend Andreas died and that she needs to get laid.
Well, listen, if she puts that as her Instagram profile pic or whatever
this
it is.
This little close-up
the
shot
one, the
of her
close-up
face.
Shot of her with the serious lashes. I mean, that's like some contemporary Instagram lashes. That's like when they glue two caterpillars to their eyelids. That's how big those eyelashes are.
I know you're not a fan of the big lashes.
No, I mean, she looks gorgeous, but I don't know if that's the character. To me, that's not Elena. Anyway, she looks fantastic.
But we know John M. Burns really likes Elena.
He puts this soft focus on there and it's sort of sfumato. Sfumato is a great art college word. Anyway, sort of soft transitions.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Leonardo da Vinci was famous for that.
I see.
All his women are like terribly soft focus.
It's like Vaseline on the lens.
Basically, yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he's basically lecturing Elena at this moment on the battlefield, just with like her dead boyfriend in the grave behind him. Yeah. She needs to get laid. She shouldn't shut herself off from the world. And it's like, you know who I want to take relationship advice from?
Someone else?
Nikolai Nante. Yes. I think he's a perfect person to tell me how to run my romantic life. So anyway, apparently following the war with the Romanovs, the Tsar alienated Rudenstein, and imperial forces blockaded the city so that it was isolated and became a hive of scum, villainy, and starvation.
Because it was so nice before.
Seriously. But apparently Dante struck a deal when he became sort of the Tsar, and that was that Rudenstein would be freed from the blockade and return to the rule of law. Good luck with that.
Whatever that means.
So Dante and Elena meet a Father Kordev in a blown-out church in Rudenstein, who is apparently now like a Unitarian minister because he's whatever the people need him to be. Mm-hmm. Because, quote, beliefs were torn out of the people of Rudenstein long ago.
Fair.
How long has Rudenstein been like a pit since? It wasn't that long since the war, right?
I mean,
it's like a year and a half.
I think maybe there's like brief moments of respite, but I think basically
their beliefs were torn out. I feel like they were supposed to be doing relatively okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know.
It was pretty much the trash place when we found it at first.
But then I thought Dante kind of made it better, and then they made it worse again, and then he made it better. It's hard to keep track.
I don't know. We didn't spend a great deal of time there, to be honest.
But apparently it's gotten so bad that townspeople are digging up the freshly dead to eat them.
Nice.
Is this a real thing that happened in history? I know Robbie's fond of pulling these little gruesome things out of history.
Sounds like the sort of thing that came with the Battle of Stalingrad. I'm not sure, though. I mean, there's so many horrible stories about that I can imagine things like that would happen. But I don't know.
It's so gross.
I don't know the history so well.
It's so gross. I'm going to offer a no prize to anyone who figures out if there is any documented accounts of starving people eating dead people out of graves because of war.
I know there's stories of like people eating grass and dirt, but I don't know if there's actual cannibalism.
Different. But apparently the outlaws in this story now prefer live flesh.
Okay.
But like, how does that work? Like, are they burning people alive to cook them and eat them? Or are they just going like al fresco and like eating raw live people meat?
I don't know.
Am I thinking about this too much?
I think you probably need to ask Robbie this stuff.
He doesn't remember. He does not remember.
Make a list. Ask him all the embarrassing questions. All the awkward stuff we can't work out. Like, what does that mean, Robbie? That you wrote 20 years ago. Tell us.
Dig this up from the recesses of your mind. Mm-hmm. So Dante and Elena end up at the governor's mansion, like a ruin, where nasty leader Ivan Rothko is sleeping, wearing Dante's old jacket over his bare chest that's definitely too small for him, while a lady is handcuffed to the bed and it does not look like she consented to bondage games.
No.
So, you know, he's marked for death.
I wonder if he's related to Mark Rothko. Anyway, no, probably not.
The painter, right? Yes. We're saying that's what I thought when I saw the name, too. I was like, this is a reference to Rothko. Like, maybe Robbie doesn't like Rothko modern art or something. Because this guy is not.
I like it.
Good-looking dude. You don't want to you don't want this dude for your namesake.
He's classic bad guy material. Heavy gut. It's like, yeah, no, he's definitely marked for death.
Bad teeth.
Yep.
So Dante fires off the huntsman to wake this jerk and his sleeping band of jerk criminals so they can see it coming when he kills them. Mm-hmm. And Dante says, the name's Dante, Nikolai Dante. You know what that means. What does it mean? I don't feel like it's not what he thinks.
Depends on the context. I mean, if you have an attractive daughter, probably means one thing. If you have a band of brigands who've just savaged the neighborhood, it probably means quite another thing.
That's fair. He does have a pretty good body count.
Context.
He just seems so silly and ridiculous to me when he says this.
He's still a bit of an idiot, it has to be said. As much as he seems to have matured through the war, he still is prone to dickish behavior.
He just feels so many, even after all the people he's killed and all of the things he has done so many times, and especially in this moment, he just feels like a little kid, like dressing up in dad's clothes and trying to like show off.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, that's what makes him redeemable.
Yeah,
because if he was as serious as he could be, then he's just an asshole.
Yeah, and he'd be boring as well. He'd be really boring. Yeah. So silly Dante peacocks. And then we get a lovely John M. Burns page of Dante and Elena just laying waste to Ivan's men before Dante cuts off his hand and throws him out a window.
Okay.
So someone other than Dante going out a window.
It's always nice.
And like
defenestration, I think it's called.
It is called defenestration. Mm-hmm. And I actually have that in my notes to mention later. But
do you?
You've
I'm sorry.
To it.
I spoiled
okay.
it. I've spoiled
fine.
It for you.
It's fine. So like a cat with a mouse, Dante lets Ivan run for his life before shooting out his knees with the huntsman and then killing him as he's begging for his life. Yeah.
It's just nasty.
It's pretty brutal. Yeah. And then Dante addresses the crowd of cannibal poor people and criminals and tells them everything's going to be all right now. And he's sorry he wasn't around to protect them again.
I'm bringing lots of money to invest in the community. Oh, wait, no, I've got nothing. Absolutely nothing to invest in. All I'm going to do is kill some more people. That's great. Good job, Dante.
I mean, and also, I feel like he gave this speech to them last time he came back to Rudenstein and found out it was a pit. Following him becoming the hero of Rudenstein. Remember, he came back and it was like a pit and he's like, I'll never leave you again. And then he did because he needed to ham it up on the high seas.
Yeah.
So sorry, Rudenstein.
Yeah, what we need is another panel at the end here with like a bunch of peasants going, yeah, right. Next.
Seriously. So just when you're thinking, wow, that was a short story, we cut to some evil-looking disembodied red eyes, and then to a lovely scene of a dude in a bed in a cabin in the woods with a hottie sitting on him with a barely-there negligee pouring vodka down her cleavage. So there's your titties.
Okay.
I promised you titas, and there they are.
Great. I like the fact that this woman is clearly somewhere around middle-aged. She's not some sort of, like, 20-something hottie. She's a woman with some curvature, and she's just not that young, which is great.
Yeah.
Diversity.
I like her.
She looks good.
She looks great. I love pouring the vodka down her face and it's dripping on her boob and her slip is falling off her shoulder. She's super hot. It's
sexy.
Yeah, it is sexy. Mm-hmm. A sex scene that isn't grossing me out. How nice after our last episode. Oof. How nice.
Mark the occasion. It won't last.
Indeed, it won't last. But in any event, I don't think we barely find out who this dude is. I think he gets a name in a little bit, but he's definitely one of the corrupt gang dudes who is like leading Rudenstein now.
It's a page of life in this comic.
Right. And he and the two flunkies guarding his love nest exist kind of just to get murdered by, I'm assuming, the titular beast.
Indeed.
Right. But unfortunately, the beast comes for the lady too.
Oh dear.
While she's in the bed there. Not nice.
Not a nice beast.
Too cute to die. I don't like it, but at least she dies off panel.
Anyhow,
Dante and Elena come upon the scene later with Father Kordev, who explains the dead dude is Roman Petarov, who is a black market human trafficker. So we don't need to feel bad for him.
Okay.
Still feel bad about the lady, though.
Yeah, the market,
she's nameless hottie.
Yes.
So the Crest analyzes the scene and detects that the murderer killed everyone with claws and extreme strength. And that the DNA that was left behind is part human. Part human.
What does that mean, part human?
Just part. You're going to find out.
Okay.
So then they come up with this brilliant plan for Elena to pose as a serving wench lost in the woods, i.e. monster bait.
Yeah.
Genius plan.
Right.
But as Dante hides in the woods, keeping an eye on Elena, the Crest senses movement and a hooded figure comes out of the shadows, and Dante tackles them, pulling off the red cloak to reveal a redheaded hot chick crying out for him not to hurt her.
Okay. That's unexpected.
Unexpected. Mm-hmm. Just as Dante
tries
to explain himself, a shadow with claws and a loud scoops him up in flight and pins him to the top of a tree with, wait for it, biomech claws.
Cyborganics.
It's Victor!
Victor!
It's Victor! And we get a really nice shot of him in Birdman form here.
Yeah, we haven't really seen much of that. Yeah.
I told you he wasn't dead.
Listen, how are you going to kill a guy who flies? Throw him out of a window. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, right? That'll work. Yeah, yeah. No body, no dead.
Right.
We just saw a dent in the ground.
To be fair, I did draw a body, but he obviously wasn't dead yet.
I see.
It was a body dead. Yes.
What do you mean you drew a body?
There was a bit where Victor was seen kind of as a naked corpse lying in the shape of a bird in the snow. I think that was the last time we saw Victor.
Really?
Which I drew, yeah.
We saw his naked body in the snow?
Yeah. I did. I remember. I drew Victor's buns. It's from the... Oh, God. I can't remember the name of the episode now. It's the one where I did a big splash page of, like, Dimitri shooting himself in the head.
That one. Oh, that it's page. On there. Oh, it was part... Right. It was like we were sort of recounting all the deaths. Bingo. And it was sort of a composite. Yeah, because I'm literally... Mm-hmm. This is why I was just thinking, because I was remembering the print in the ground, and I'm like, that was not you that drew that.
It was me.
No. Oh, the actual death scene, not death scene. When he gets thrown off of the palace, that was not you.
Right, but I did the.
You did the composite version later. You did the recap. Yeah. I see. But like that could just be Dimitri thinking about him naked. I don't know why he would be picturing his son naked.
Don't even go there.
Anyway, let's. I'm thinking too much. Okay.
Yep.
But yay, Victor's alive, and we knew he was alive.
Lots of cool forest painting here.
By John M. Burns.
Very good.
So Birdman Victor flies Dante around a bit before setting him down next to Little Ginger Riding Hood, who is apparently Victor's girlfriend.
Yay!
Ooh.
Okay.
And then Dante radios to Elena because apparently they had a radio headset somewhere that she's wearing. This really stood out to me. I'm like, Robbie, saw these people walk into town with nothing but the clothes on their backs, but she just had a little headset like hidden in her uniform.
Oh, look, she's got it there. Look, she has the previous page. She's got a little kind of radio thing she's using.
Yeah, I know, but like, where did it come from?
Her pocket.
Okay, she's keeping it in her pocket.
If everyone had to carry the bags around carrying all the stuff they need, it would be terribly tedious to draw.
It just seemed.
Trust me on this. I have tried.
It seemed silly to me, but okay. Anyway. Okay. I don't know why. That just seemed really weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he radios to Elena and tells her to shelter in the church because he's like off in this different part of the woods. How far away did he get from her? I guess Victor picked him up and flew him. But here's the thing. Here's what I don't get about the geography of this. Mm-hmm. Dante's in the woods watching Elena from a distance be the bait in her little peasant top. Yep. Then... this woman comes out of the woods in a red cloak and Dante tackles her.
Yep.
Then Victor swoops down, picks up Dante, flies him around a bit, but then drops him back near Red Cloak Lady.
Yes.
So like they're back in the same place they started, but somehow Elena's too far away to rejoin them.
Moved on collecting. She's gathered
How far did she get, man?
Listen, she's very industrious. She has a fairly large...
She just walked a mile.
Her bundle of sticks has gone from that to that. So I think she's gone fairly far.
And by that to that, he's showing you a bundle of sticks is small and then a big bundle of sticks. Yes.
Right. Yes. So yeah, she's been working. She may be pretending to be bait, but she's still getting a far.
All right, she's getting it.
You've got to respect that in a character. She's definitely...
I guess this flyaway that Victor took Dante on just lasted a while. He was just like circling with him up in the air.
Yeah.
Elena's making her way through the woods, collecting all the twigs ever.
And she should definitely put that top has a photograph in her dating profile.
The peasant top.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. It's a good
look. I love how invested you are in Elena's dating profile.
Definitely. She should be on whatever.
You're going to swipe right on that, aren't you?
Sure, of course. Who wouldn't? She's awesome.
She is awesome. I prefer her with the swords, though.
Yeah.
But anyway.
She can do both. She can do
multitudes. It's swords and pigtails for me. Yeah.
She can be all those things and more.
Okay. So then we get to see Victor and Galia. That's the ginger, mm-hmm. apparently. Yeah. And their little house by the river.
Nice.
They're just shacked up in a cute little house that looks like it's on like a riverbank in New Orleans or something. The Mississippi.
I presume it's a reference for Russia. I mean, it looks Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I like the fact that he's got this
it's
kind of
It's got like
purple,
a wraparound porch and it's
wash.
On the river. So to me, that so says looks, like yeah. Georgia or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Presumably it looks like that. I don't know. I've not researched
Mississippi.
It enough.
I don't know why I went to Georgia.
John is doing a much better job of referencing the local flora and fauna and geography than I did.
You think he actually looked up like Russian forests?
Probably. I mean, it does look like a specific place. It's not like a generic forest. It looks like a specific forest.
Okay.
Anyway, who knows?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Dante then gives us a nice little recap of Victor's death, mm-hmm. right? When the Tsar's forces stormed the Winter Palace, killed everyone, Lulu surrendered. And then the Lord Protector threw him from the top of the Winter Palace before burning the ground for a square mile, apparently.
Hmm. Okay.
So, well, like, how did he survive? Dante would like to know.
Who knows? Well, presumably he flew somewhere.
Right. So before we find out the answer, though, mm-hmm. we cut to Elena sheltering in the bombed-out church.
Right.
Not very good shelter without a roof, but sure.
Shelter's a spiritual thing as well.
She's spiritually sheltered.
Cloistered, even.
And she gets invited to have a drink with Father Kordev, who has found some communion wine.
Nice.
He's
mean,
just found the communion wine.
This church
wine.
Has been raided multiple
this
times.
This is what I was thinking.
You can't. These priests, they're good at stashing things.
I mean, but I feel like he would have drunk it already. They're eating dead bodies out of the ground. He's just saving wine. I feel like he would. That's a need wine moment. It's wine o'clock when they're eating dead bodies out of your graveyard.
Yes, but I don't think he's eating dead bodies out of the ground. I think he's
no,
eating
but I'm saying he'd be.
Ups,
it's upsetting to see that he's consecrating ground and burying people, and then people are digging yes. them up and eating them. If I was the priest, I would be hitting the bottle.
Well, he is.
I would
obviously.
Not be saving it.
That may not be the first bottle of communion
future fake
wine he
serving
was saving.
Lunches.
There's maybe a bunch of them. Anyway.
He's got a whole stash.
He has them.
He's got a whole wine cellar of communion wine.
Yep.
All right. So then we cut back to Galia telling her story to Dante. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. Her
it
dad died in the war, kind of like randomly shot by someone. She doesn't know if it was like Oof. Officers or criminals mm-hmm. or both. And her mom gave up after that. Whatever that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gave up living, presumably, because there's two crosses there.
I was kind of like, but like, is this like died by suicide or did she just like wither away? Like, I don't.
Again, it's a spiritual death. It
it's
matters.
A spiritual death. Okay. So she buried her parents. We see her at her parents' grave. And then sometime later, Victor crash landed as a burning bird man mm-hmm. into the lake near her house.
Like a phoenix, he came back from the ashes.
Indeed. And she nursed him back to health as only a pretty lady can.
Oh.
The magic
again,
medicine.
Again, with the peasant top
of
thing.
Of mammaries.
The white
in a
cotton
peasant top.
Peasant top. It's very good. Listen, that would heal. That
frankly, would heal you?
That would definitely heal
that
me.
That would heal you.
If I was falling from the sky on fire and I was like, that would definitely help.
That's medicine.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Come on.
All right.
It's good. It's
okay.
Good luck. Just
excellent.
Saying.
I'll make sure to have one of those on hand should you take ill.
Promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
I swear, doctor, this treatment will work. Just give us a minute.
Gotta get into this corset.
Okay. So then they fell in love, as you do, when
as
a beautiful
person.
Busty lady nurses you back to health in her river home.
Yes.
She knows that he's a Romanov, but she never told anyone about him to protect him.
Okay.
And she says, he seemed to want to forget. And this is the moment where I sort of like look at you and I'm like, What did he seem to want? This man says nothing. You have no idea what he's thinking. How do you, he wanted to forget who he, how would you know that?
He has soulful eyes.
This is what you're always saying about guys that don't talk a lot and they score big with women because women can like project their aspirations right onto the person. Like,
quite. Well, you can
that he's
easily
thoughtful or deep or sensitive.
He's obviously agreeing with me because you prefer to think the best of him.
Right. In the absence of a response,
because he doesn't
you fill
say anything, he doesn't put his foot in it and say something stupid. So, you know, you're already winning.
Yeah. It really is a shrewd plan.
Yep.
It's a shrewd plan. You know, I don't know if that would work the other way. I feel like women just are so excited when a guy listens to them and doesn't interrupt them. It's like, I love you, marry me. I feel like the other way around wouldn't work. You know, just being silent to guys.
I've never been out with a woman that
like if a woman just let you talk and didn't say anything and was just like, uh-huh, and just looking
at you. That never happens.
No?
Has that ever happened?
You only date talky women?
Answers on a postcard, please.
All right. You only date chatterboxes.
I've only ever dated talkative women.
So, right. We cut back to Elena and Father Kordev sharing that drink while Kordev talks about how he got all hot and bothered by soldiers confessing their sexy bloody sins to him.
Oh, dear.
And then he started visiting bordellos with them.
Oh my goodness.
As you do.
He's confessing to the wrong person.
Yes. And he couldn't resist those sexy sex workers, right? But he's getting all weird as he's telling her about it.
He doesn't mean by sex, though, does he? He means in other ways. They're just too delicious.
But Elena is already, like, the alarm bells are going off and she's reaching for her swords just as Kordev shapeshifts into a werewolf.
That's a full-on kind of RuPaul working at werewolf. Look at that attitude. That's some sass. Rawr.
Sassy werewolf.
Sassy, using a lot of hair products.
Yeah, so if you were thinking the titular beast was Victor, that's fair enough. But no, surprise, sexy werewolf.
Two beasts.
Two beasts for the price of one.
The beasts
It should be the beasts of Rudenstein.
Yes.
Then we cut back to the Imperial Palace in St. Petersburg, where Dante now is chatting with Arkady about tests he had him run on the sample of DNA the beast left behind. And, like, why did Dante just ditch Elena? Like, she's dressed as a wench in a bombed-out church in a city full of cannibal poor people and probably leftover gang members. And he's just like, meh, I'll go to St. Petersburg.
Hundreds of miles away, yes.
I'll just screw off to St. Petersburg to run some tests.
Seems this could have been a radio call or something. I mean,
like what?
Hi. What's going on?
It's so weird to me. Like, how far apart are these places, Rudenstein and St. Petersburg? I felt like they were, like, a good distance
quite
away.
Far,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Dante's just like, meh.
Yeah.
So anyway, Arkady tells Dante that the sample is from genetically altered test subjects, mostly captive enemy soldiers who were genetically altered in the Tsar's gene labs. Boy, that sounds like a fun place, the Tsar's gene labs. Can you imagine?
Yes.
And the soldiers became sleeper agents that could be triggered to transform into monsters and kill their comrades after being released back to the enemy.
Okay.
Okay.
So, werewolves as weapons of war.
Right. Ooh,
it's a lot
werewolves,
of weapons
of war.
It's a lot of W's.
Nice. Yes. So the moral of the story is never trust the Tsar just letting enemy people live. If he lets enemy people return, they have a bomb in their stomach. Something's going to happen.
Sure.
So
the articulation of this wing here, it's fantastic. Look at that.
You're getting ahead of us.
Sorry.
You like to do that.
I'm admiring
you're
Mr.
admiring
Burns' expertise.
Art. I feel you. It's tough to not see. Mm-hmm. So the gene DNA was tracked to Father Kordev, who Arkady described as a less than holy, holy man. And at this moment, Dante realizes how dumb it was to leave Elena behind when he easily could have brought her with him.
And then he shows up suddenly. So,
like,
presumably this is around the corner. I mean, Russia's a big place. Can I just say Russia is vast?
I don't understand the timing of any of this.
Yeah, we need to see.
I don't understand the timing of Rudenstein and how long it's been since the war. I don't understand the timing of him going back and forth. Whatever.
So this is the Imperial Palace in St. Petersburg.
It's in St. Petersburg.
Right. So
it's not like it floated somewhere else, which would have been a fair enough thing to guess.
It seems like that whole conversation could have been done via the Crest. Like, Crest, tell me the test results. And the Crest
Seriously.
Then does the snotty thing. It doesn't need to be. What's his name? Arkady. Anyway.
I don't know. We just wanted to get Arkady in there. We missed Arkady warding it up.
Could have had him just being snotty and radio. Anyway,
listen.
Seems like a mistake was made. Who knows?
A mistake was made. So we cut back to Elena fighting the beast for her life in that sexy wench peasant top with cleavage for days.
That's how you're supposed to fight werewolves.
That's how you fight werewolves.
As Hammer would have you believe. That is the official uniform of Hammer for fighting werewolves.
Enormous knockers. So the beast has got her on the ropes when in comes Birdman Victor. There you go with your John M. Bird's wings. Birdman Victor is flying and carrying Dante and dropping him off before drop kicking the beast. And the beast and the Birdman tangle before Dante stabs the beast and throws him out a window.
Yay, more defenestration.
Lots of you just did it again.
Sorry, what? Oh, you were going to do that? Sorry. I'll step back. I will talk.
It's over now.
You lost the moment.
It's over now.
Okay.
So Dante confronts the dying beast priest on the ground outside and tells him he knows that he started beating up sex workers. Apparently, he was found drunk with beating up sex workers and asks him why he lost his faith. And Cordiff tells Dante that he saw too many people die in the war who looked like there was no God as they died. So he went homicidal.
Decided to prove the point.
I don't know. Anyway, he tells Dante not to judge him because he knows Dante tortured Rothko before killing him and threatened the Rudenstein criminals to join him or die. So Dante just, quote, keeps his beast on the inside.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, not really, because both of those acts were super public, so it's not really on the inside.
Not really.
But it is a badass thing to say to someone before they kill you.
Okay.
You know, you're the real monster.
Yes, you're just like me.
You're just like me. So Dante takes his bloody ass back to Victor's house by the lake and reassures Galia that he won't tell the Tsar that Victor is alive. And he says... I'm almost wordless at this one.
Yeah.
Out of all the family Romanov, Victor was the one who deserved to find a little peace. And then they all cuddle and smile.
Really?
Look at them.
Is he?
Is he the one? Excuse me. Are we forgetting that Victor straight up killed a lady? Like, for no reason.
Did he? When was
he that? He straight up killed a lady. I was trying to find it, and I can't figure out which episode it was. But I didn't look long enough, to be honest. I remember the panel. It's Victor in the tower. He's, like, in a tower room, and there are, like, feathers floating down, and a woman's screaming. And we cut back to Victor, and he's naked, and he's, like, covered in blood with feathers around him. And there's, like, a woman's, like, scalp, like, laying on a...
Birdie moment when he's like on the
I mean, I don't know what it was, but all I'm saying is he straight up killed a lady.
Oh.
He killed her. He just killed her in a weird way.
Okay.
In a weird then I want to be naked and bloody way.
All right.
So I don't know why he deserves to find a little piece.
I think we may have forgotten all about that.
I think Robbie forgot about it.
It's possible.
I think he forgot about it. I'm gonna look up and find out when that was.
If he only killed like one lady in the scheme of things, compared to the rest of the Romanovs, who have a extraordinarily high body count, it's relatively okay.
Oh my God. I don't know why that lady bothers me more than all of the people that Lulu's killed. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, no, she. I can't forgive her for that plane thing. That was really messed up.
That was pretty...
Everyone else that she was like torturing in her Hellfire Club or whatever, I honestly don't
presumably
care.
They paid the price of admission.
Whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah, that plane thing was really bad.
That was messed up.
That was really bad. I feel like Robbie knew that too when he did that because we have to see why Dante would like kill Lulu or think he's going to kill Lulu. And it's like because she's a big threat. And it's like, just as she wasn't a big enough threat. She was just sort of like a sexy torturer with a spy network.
Right.
So it's like, let's make her a total terrorist and drive a bunch of innocent people to their horrible deaths. Like, then we can kill her.
Then you're allowed to kill her.
So anyway, we close on Dante suggesting that the hot peasant top be Elena's new uniform. And she reminds him she hasn't killed anyone in the last 24 hours and she can fix that starting with him.
Okay.
The end. Little moment, nice little moment with Dante and Elena by the river.
Nice landscape there. Very good.
Yeah.
Very lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the end.
Very good.
There we go.
Okay, so Victor's not dead.
Victor's not dead. Thoughts?
Another Romanov back.
We got a Romanov back.
Mm-hmm.
We got one back.
And Dante now has another ally. Presumably this is an ally we've got in the pocket now.
Yeah, Victor really feels like a Helm's Deep kind of guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like at the last moment, yeah. The Victor will fly in when we need him to.
Air support, yeah.
Absolute air support, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so next story, The Dissenter.
The Dissenter.
Written by Robert G. Morrison. Art by John M. Burns. Letters by Annie Parkhouse. I don't know if Annie's got a middle name or not. Is it Robbie G. Morrison? Yeah, Robert Gardner Morrison.
Oh my goodness.
I know. That was going to be his novel. His novelist name was going to be R. Gardner Morrison. That's what he told me. But it isn't, because he's written two novels now, and none of them are written by R. Gardner Morrison.
Is it Robert on the book, or is it Robbie?
No, it's Robbie.
It's Robbie.
He went with his comic book name.
He went with his comic book
name. I know.
Oh my God.
Shameless.
He's rehabbing his comic image. He's
trying to take advantage of his existing reputation to sell books.
I mean, as you should. Yeah. That's the way.
I think you should just have gone in cold and tried to start from scratch like J.K. Rowling did.
Spoken like someone... Oh, God. I hate her so much.
Yeah.
I hate her so much.
Yeah.
Like, I literally flip off her house every time we're in Edinburgh because Simon's cousin lives near J.K. Rowling's house.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousin is lovely. And J.K. Rowling is a active, horrible person.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, she sucks. Don't bring up J.K. Rowling. You're going to get my blood pressure up.
She's like the biggest hedge in the world. You can always spot her house because it's the largest hedge you've ever seen.
Yeah. She should just stay there and someone should take away her internet access. But anyway, okay. We are in bed with Dante in the Imperial Palace, and so is a sleeping topless lady.
Yay.
There's a buzz of a doorbell and a topless Dante greets Jenna at the door.
Who's not topless.
Not topless. No.
She's got a rather fabulous greatcoat on.
It's a great coat.
It's great.
Really great.
Those lapels, mm-hmm. those shoulders, those epaulettes, amazing.
I mean, these official, like, czar sort of, like, uniform outfits that Jenna wears just look fabulous.
Yep.
All the time.
Also, sort of neatly nipped in at the waist there, and those, the knee boots. The
whole thing. I just love it.
Great.
I just love it.
I can almost get past the pink hair. Almost.
Almost, but not quite.
Not quite.
So, Jenna says that she has need of him. And the John M. Burns reaction shot of Dante to that particular wording is just fantastic. This little panel of Dante.
See, I know exactly what I would have done there. It wouldn't have been that, but it's a decent response.
I love this reaction panel.
Mm-hmm.
It should be next to the definition of coy in the dictionary.
Coy?
Yes.
I think he's being coy.
I think he
looks lecherous.
I think he looks coy. Like, ooh, need of me? Moi?
Hmm.
Really?
No? Okay. Listen.
He's flirting.
Definitely flirting.
He's flirting.
Definitely flirting.
But I think, I don't know, there's something childlike about it, you know?
Okay.
Anyway.
I mean, that's definitely how you have to go with that.
Yeah. So Dante gets dressed in his purple sort of the czar outfit, mm-hmm. and he and Jenna go walking in the rain while she tells him of her arts tutor, Leonid Sarov.
Oh, dear.
Who another taught her teacher. To think for herself.
Another
you are just, you are like on my wavelength tonight, Simon, because... My next note is, we know Jenna's tutors have so far not had good luck in these comics.
They're all going to die.
So
shortly after seeing her again.
Right? Dante apparently had a similar tutor, he says, who taught him to steal, so not similar at all. And apparently this person was named Di Grizzoff, and it's just nice to know Dante had some male role models.
Oh, Di Grizzoff. Okay, that's a reference to the Stainless Steel Rat.
Oh, that book you told me about.
Yes, as in Slippery Jim Degree. James Degree is his name.
I still have to read that.
You should. It's very funny.
Yeah.
There's 2000 AD readers will know this because they were adapted. The Stainless Steel Rat books were adapted for 2000 AD.
For 2000 AD? Yes. By who?
They were adapted by, I don't know who wrote it, because it was written under T.J. Howard. So it was John Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And then drawn by Carlos Esquerra. Someone maybe correct me on that. It might have been somebody else who wrote it, but I don't know. Anyway, was it T.B. Grover? Someone heard.
Is it worth just reading the book and then the comic, or
just read the book? I mean, the comic is fine. It's very edited.
I see.
The books have got all the details.
Okay.
It's a fabulously funny series of books.
All right.
Harry Harrison was my favorite sci-fi writer for quite a while because he's just so entertaining. And he used to be a comic book writer.
Oh, did he?
He did.
What did he do?
He wrote for like EC, I think, way back in the day.
EC Comics.
Yeah,
he's that famous, is old school.
He had some fairly good credits.
All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jenna tells Dante that her former tutor has been critical of the Tsar, mm-hmm. not a position that comes with a life expectancy.
No.
So they banter about how Dante sold out to the Tsar and had a naked lady in his bed. It's mm-hmm. cute.
It is.
And just going back and forth. It's nice to see them like this again.
Bantery.
Yeah, bantery. So apparently Tudor Sarov was so bold as to blog on the internet about how the Tsar sucks. So the Tsar
great idea.
Yes. So the Tsar wants him re-educated, Clockwork Orange style, I'm sure, mm-hmm. into a loyal subject as an example.
Okay.
So Jenna needs Dante to arrest the tutor because she thinks the Raven Corps will, like, rough him up. And I'm sure she's right.
They definitely will.
They definitely will. Soon, Jenna is reunited with her tutor, who is super adorable. Super adorable.
Kind of reminds me of
old man.
Oberon from Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, he does look like Oberon from Mr. Miracle. And he's got the, like, puffy green sleeves. And
yeah, definitely. That's the Russian outfit.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah.
So he's adorable and says how proud he is of Jenna. And she looks like a little girl when she hugs him.
Aww.
It's very cute. She presses her head into him. She looks very mm-hmm. young and it's sweet. Yeah. So, oh, this dude is definitely going to die.
Yep.
Like, for sure.
He's got death written right Oof. Across his face.
We're just waiting for it. It's like...
Yep.
So Jenna explains to Tsarov that she talked her father into letting him live if he apologizes, retracts his statements, and pledges eternal allegiance to the Tsar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll let him live long enough to do that, Jenna, and then kill him slowly, painfully, and publicly. Yeah. Jenna, I love you, but it's like she over-compartmentalized her brain in reaction to growing up in this hellscape, and she just somehow completely has no concept of what's actually going on a lot of the time.
Privilege.
But it's worked out so badly for her so many times.
I mean, does it? Because she's still the Tsar's daughter. She still has enormous power and privilege.
The people around her. It works out badly for her and the people around her.
Yeah, I think she has to connect the dots. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
She still hasn't quite connected the dots yet.
All right. So Tsarov is like, let's have a drink in response. Mm-hmm. And he and Dante and Jenna all hang around drinking and talking about how awesome Jenna was as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And then about his principles and that her father has become a monster. He feels...
Seems like he always was.
This was absolutely what I was thinking. Right. I'm like, when was he not? Like, yeah. It doesn't seem okay. But he apparently feels guilt for being a silent collaborator and says he won't retract his words. So I don't know. I guess the Tsar was like more secretive about his totalitarianism. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's been a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the crest breaks in
yes.
to sort of like, talk to Dante silently and says, Dante, there's something you should know. But we hear no more from Cresty. Mm-hmm. And then Tsarov tells Jenna that he'd rather die than swear loyalty to the Tsar and that she has more in her than just being her father's daughter and gives her a sweet kiss on the forehead.
There you go.
It's like a reverse godfather kiss.
Yes.
You know?
Sure.
Because we know this dude is about to die. So Tsarov then,
we salute you, yeah.
Yeah. So then Tsarov is sort of walking with Dante out, presumably to go back to their ship and be taken as a prisoner. And Dante tells him that he knows he's got terminal cancer. So apparently the Crest can totally scan other people and diagnose their diseases.
Yes. Presumably the Crest could have done that before and worked out the DNA of the beast, for example. But
well, we had to match the DNA back to the Tsar's weird gene labs.
And then we had to have a conversation with Arkady.
Right. That had to be in person. Yeah. Anyway,
sorry.
We need to let
Stop
it go.
Harping on about that.
So anyway, so the Crest knows that he's got terminal cancer. So the Crest is like those cats that can smell illness. He just
presumably
scans people. Dante tells Tsarov that he's still a badass for taking on the Tsar, even if it is because he has nothing to lose mm-hmm. in Tsarov's own words, because he's dying and all. And Dante then tells him that rather than return to St. Petersburg as a prisoner, he could attempt to like basically run away with the proviso that if he does so, Dante would have to shoot him.
Indeed.
So he does. And Jenna hears the shot ring out because she was apparently lagging behind, like looking at old pictures of her and Zaroff, like while they're leaving.
Just giving them a few minutes together.
And she again, cradles.
The rain starts again, so we get the rain.
Yes, well, she cradles yet another dead tutor in her arms. This is not the first time. This is the second time.
Showing the dots, woman.
Before anyway. Attacking Dante in a rage, before conceding to Dante's explanation that this way he dies with dignity. And Jenna gets out a damn you, Nikolai, before they cuddle and then kiss in the rain.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the last time they were in the rain together, they were breaking up. Are they? This is nice. Yes. After they had sex and knocked the shack down.
Was that the last time they were in the rain together?
I think so.
Mm. Okay.
Together.
That was a while ago.
Facing off in the rain.
That was before the war.
It was right when the war started.
Yes.
Because her sister got all murdered.
Indeed.
Anyway.
Antebellum.
So this is nice.
Okay. Yes, it is.
This is nice.
Very nice. Yeah. I think they earned that. I think so. It's a tough one.
I mean, it did feel a little fast to me because she's been hating him for so long. It almost feels like this dude had to die just so we had a reason for Jenna and Dante to make out.
I mean, it's a problem. I feel you could have earned that moment better with a little bit more of a pause if she'd had some time to, like, work it through. But you don't get the time to do that in six pages. You can't really
it
give it
that much
space. It is
tough with the constraints. But I don't know. It does feel a little, like, rushed and kind of just there for the sake of being there to get to a different point in the story.
They're definitely friends with benefits, obviously. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
Hey. I mean, I'm definitely all for the whole, like, you know, when you're in grief, you do make interesting choices, especially sex-related interesting choices.
That's why so many people get laid at funerals.
That is absolutely why so many people get laid. I'd say after funerals. I don't know that they get laid at funerals, Simon. Are there a lot of funerals you know of where people just, like, go off to a closet?
I mean, I've never been... Don't know. I'm trying to think of funerals I've been to. How many funerals?
I thought you were trying to remember if you'd had sex at a funeral.
I'm not even that. I'm trying to remember how many funerals I've been to.
Have you not been to many funerals?
I mean, my grandmother, my dad.
Right.
That's kind of it.
Really?
And yeah, I definitely wasn't even looking for anything of that because it was like, nope, this is a bad time.
I've definitely been to more funerals than that.
Probably.
I've for sure been to more funerals than that. I can already think of like four off the top of my head.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my friend Chris, for one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Christopher Musicant.
Yeah, Chris Musicant.
Never forgotten. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest nerds that ever did nerd. Yep. We used to argue all the time about comics.
Mm-hmm.
He was lovely.
Sadly taken too young.
Way, way too young. But like then there was like one of my ex's grandmothers died. My grandmother died. My dad died. I feel like there are more that I'm not remembering. Yeah, there are more in there.
Hmm.
I've been to a bunch of funerals.
Huh. I think I missed most of them. I mean, I missed most of my family member funerals because I was out of the country.
Or
I was
away. You were far away. Oh, that's
sad. If I'd been closer, I probably would have been to more.
Hmm.
But they were all kind of...
How did we get here?
I don't know.
This is a weird digression. Let's end on such a happy note. I was trying to talk about sex at funerals, and then we just took a left turn.
Defenestration. Let's get back to the fun stuff.
So Dante and Jenna kissing in the rain.
Yep, which they do.
Presumably they're going to go have sex now.
I mean, that's usually the implication.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just glad that Jenna's going to get laid. She really needs it. It's been a tough time for her.
Right? Yes. Even Dante.
Well, he was just getting laid at the beginning of the story. He's not hard up.
He seems to need it a lot more than most people.
He just needs it constantly.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. The end.
The end.
The end. Where will we go from here? I'm not sure.
The next episode is Thieves World.
Well, we're closing the book on Dante for today.
Yes, we are.
But once again, you're saying my things before I say them.
Oh, no.
We'll be back next time with Thieves World.
Thieves World?
Thieves World.
Who drew that?
I don't... Is it you? Oh, it's you.
It's me.
It's you.
It's me.
Spoilers, it's you.
I drew it.
Excellent. So we hope you enjoyed our podcast. And if so, please subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please leave us ratings and reviews wherever you can. And tell your friends to join our book club and read along with us. Follow us on Instagram at PodTGDR. Check out our Facebook community for The Great Dante Read-Through. Let us know what you think of the podcast, of Dante, comics, whatever is on your mind. I'm Edie.
And I'm not Edie.
And we will catch you next time.
Bye.